and ready to seize your first opportunity to come into the ring and start grandstanding and hot-dogging. Yeah!
I can't help it that I look good, smell good, woo, can dance all night long.
When we speak, our voices are heard. We all say, I bring it.
Welcome to Malice Smack Talk, the only smack talk that could take a physical beating from Ronda Rousey. Probably not verbal, though, but definitely physical.
I don't know. That was almost as bad as her promo. So, hey, you do you,
yes,
bro.
Yes. Yes. Thank you very much. I am Masonic Vader. Thank you guys for joining. We apologize for missing last week. Life jumped in and everything. But we are back live. We're going to be talking all things wrestling this week. With me, as always, is the Bearded Master.
Yes, sir. I'm here. Let's do this.
Nice. And back from his long-term assignment with the coach, so he can give us all the great news about what coach is doing on the side. It's Mind Freak.
By God, I'm back.
Nice. We got the whole band back together. So, boys, we've got 2 weeks. 2 weeks before the big show, the granddaddy of them all. And before that, we're just getting a crap load of news throwing us and a bunch of stuff shoved in our face. Before we jump right into it, let's just remind everyone that we got to also thank our host site, Malice Corp, Malice-Corp. They're a phenomenal site. Please check them out. They have all things nerd. They have several different podcasts and live shows. Right now, the big shows, you have your Friday night main cast at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And then on Monday nights, if I'm not mistaken, at the same exact time, The Walking Dead is back, and they do a live Walking Dead cast at the same time. You can check all the previous casts on the website itself and check out all the great articles and all the links we have to all previous casts as well. So it's Malice-Corp. Thank you guys so much for the time tonight. Here we go, guys. Let's start talking about all the craziness that's been going on this week. Just a lot of freaking McMahon screw jobs everywhere to this week, man. It's crazy. Let's start off with the biggest screw job of them all right now. Let's start off with Kofi Kingston. That freaking guy is phenomenal, and the crap that they pulled on him this last week was just heinous in every sense of the word. He ends up having to run a five-man gauntlet, and we're not talking about like basic crap job gauntlet guys. I mean, these are all past champions, good handful. God, I don't know. Almost 90% of them are probably Hall of Famers, and he had to run the gauntlet against future Hall of Famers. What's your feelings on this whole screw job we have going on right now, Bearded?
Dude, this is irritating. I knew it was coming. I didn't know to what extent. But it was like it was too good to be true. Kofi was having a hell of a match. The gauntlet was – it was just – he was freaking kicking ass out there, man. And then McMahon comes out. As soon as McMahon's music hits, like, okay, what's going to happen? Did the whole congratulations. He's like, no, this isn't how it's going to end. And then Daniel Bryan's music hit. And my thoughts on the thing was like, well – this could go either way. If they lose right now, then it's like it's kind of rewriting the way they want things. But they could give the ultimate swerve and make it look like he's actually going to lose, and then he ends up getting a surprise win, which I felt him winning the gauntlet was pretty much a shoe-in and expected. It was predictable. Yeah. But then you have him have to fight Daniel Bryan at the end, and that can go either way. Is he going to win? Is he not going to win? And I think either way, you get a shock out of it. It's interesting because it's seeing what's going to happen. Personally, I think they're doing this right because I really think that they're building him up to be the optimum babyface that has ever happened. I think if Kofi ends up there, then Kofi, if he were to – I don't even know if he's going to win, but say he were to win. Even if he were to lose, I feel like Kofi comes out of WrestleMania possibly the biggest babyface of all time, without a doubt. I think even with the loss, the respect and admiration for Kofi and him wanting to and the people wanting him to excel and move forward, continue with the push, would be even higher than ever. Him winning, that roof is going to blow off that building. And at the same time, as I think it's going to be great, them slow rolling this, I feel that it also could go the opposite way where they're trying to bring him down and not do it, because if they end with Ronda, Becky, Charlotte, and Becky wins and goes over, Kofi winning earlier in the night could kind of silence Becky's pop at the end too.
Yeah, I thought about that for a hot minute before I jumped over the Mind Freak. I don't know. WrestleMania is one of those few events that you can get away with multiple big, huge pops, man. It's just that type of event. You've got 80-plus thousand people that are going to be packed in a stadium. They're all excited for the fact. There's already a freaking I want to say there's, what, 7 matches right now with a potential 9 more?
10 matches already listed. And there's there's rumored out that's going to finish out about 17 matches. And that's 10. That's not even including the women's match. That's or the women's battle royal. I mean, and that's not even counting the Raw Tag Team Championships or the SmackDown Championships.
Yeah, so I think there's a lot of those, the extra matches that
there's at least finalized. 13 matches without a doubt. And there's going to be, you know, there's going to be more.
Yeah. So I think they'd get away with it if they were able to pull a double, fan favorite pop, you know what I'm saying? A double Kofi and a Becky. Mind Freak, because we haven't heard your wisdom and knowledge ever, but still, we want to hear something coming out of the pie hole. What's going on, man? Tell us what your feelings are about this.
So, watching the Gauntlet match, watching Kofi, you know, go through this. And as you guys said, it was a grueling match. You had, you know, you had the Bar, Samoa Joe, Randy Orton, and Ronan, and then ending it with Daniel Bryan. The fact that, you know, you're making Kofi, you know, push through all these hoops, going through all these obstacles, then just to lose it at the end and have that opportunity taken, it's heartbreaking, because, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with this match. We don't know who Daniel Bryan's going to be facing at WrestleMania. I mean, we have an idea, there's the rumors and everything, but the fact that you have a lot of the locker room, even like watching like the behind the scenes interviews and everything's like, oh, and good luck to Kofi tonight. You know, everybody's like essentially rooting for Kofi to go over. So him losing the match, yeah, I see, you know, trying to build him up to be more of that baby face, that face. But with WrestleMania less than 3 weeks away, almost 2 weeks away, and we don't have a solidified match for the WWE Championship, it kind of makes you wonder what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, to both your guys' points, there's this ultimate buildup of Kofi being the, like you said, the babyface of all time kind of thing. I don't know if there's much more you could push at this point. I think Kofi Kingston gets that big pop every time he comes out now. And it's awesome because of the fact they're able to do it without splitting up the New Day. The New Day is backing up with no dissension or anything. They're like, hey, this guy deserves it kind of thing. Because normally in this situation, whenever you have that stable, when one guy starts coming out, there starts having that dissension. The next thing you know, stable eliminated. They've been able to maintain it with the New Day. And it's been a great juggle of how they do it. I don't know how much
go with that. I think it has to come down with more the fact that the New Day is really showing that they're a brotherhood, not a stable. And yeah. I think that's the difference between it, because they're three guys that really are there for each other. And you see that when after the Gauntlet match, you see that after the Elimination Chamber. Fast Lane, and then you saw when the excitement for him. And I think that they're really three guys who are going to be there by each other's side, thick or thin, win or lose, and how it doesn't matter which one of them is moving up, you're going to get them to continually support each other. And I think that the WWE, they don't come off heelish at all. So if they were to ever try to do a turn, it's not going to come off the same way as like when the Shield broke up. And I think that they got something solid with the New Day that I just don't see them breaking them up anytime soon.
Yeah, my freak. I think I know what you're about to say, but go for it, buddy.
I was going to be and that's just seeing it, like, you know, like on TV, like on the Instagram posts, on anything that has to do it. But like even going a little bit step further, like in that idea, like, you know, how close knit they are. I mean, look at Xavier with up, up, down, down. You have Kofi and Big E almost there, and almost every episode doing a lot of different things. So what they have extends outside of WWE together. Which I just, know, you know, a lot of them too, but you know.
Do you guys notice that the, I don't know, I just noticed for the first time last week, so I don't know if this is how it's always been, but that they call their tag team finisher the up, up, down, down. Do you guys know that?
Hmm? Yeah.
How, have they been doing that forever?
No.
They have like three different ones that they cycle.
Well, the one with when Big E's holding the guy on his shoulder and then Xavier or Kofi jumps on the top rope. I think it was Tom Phillips the other day. He was like, up, up, down, down, and for the finish. I'm like, wait, when the hell did they change the name to that? Because that's badass.
They each have a finisher with depending on who's in the ring at the time. You know?
No, I get what my Marty Marty Beer Bass are saying. That has been going for a while. It was probably about 3 or 4 months ago that I first noticed it myself. That's one of the things I appreciate about WWE now is because when you go back and you talk about the big story when the Wolfpack, after the match was over at a show and it finally went, oh my God, everything, you know, when Kevin Nash and everybody went their separate ways, that was a huge thing. And it kind of like blew the wrestling community apart. Now you could actually have a personal life out there in the projected eye, like Xavier doing up, up, down, down, and still have all these guys connected, like guys that are supposed to be heels and everything. They're still out there and they're wrestling and stuff. It's amazing that you're able to do that now versus how you couldn't do that back in the day. It's awesome to see what's going on with the New Day and how Kofi is finally getting that push he's rightfully deserved forever in a day. We got some chatting going on in there in the Twitch room, buddy.
We do. Revelation 16:17 asks, yo, how you feel about the Roman Reigns leukemia thing? I'm not sure what he wants to know about this as far as whether or not I'm just going to go on a limb and basically go with what the social media networks have said and basically whether it's real or it's a work. I hope that's not what he's asking. If he is, then my answer to that is I believe that he went back in, was fighting it, got it back in remission. He's healthier, looks better than ever, and he's back in wrestling. And I'm glad he was able to fight it and survive it and get it back in remission. I am a Roman Reigns fan. I have family that have passed from leukemia, and I have family currently going through cancer right now. And I have family where that cancer was that came up literally 2 days before the Roman Reigns announcement. So I think that it really was, and I think that he's fought hard, and just watch him in the ring. He looks healthier. He looks more energetic. He looks more excited to be out there. If you look at the last quarter or so before he left, he really was looking drained. And I put it up to him just being a full-blown workhorse for the company. And if this is what it came down to, then I could see why he was looking so drained. And if it's back in remission, he's looking like he's happy to be there again, and he's out there looking just better than ever.
My 2 cents on it is this is, WWE will do a lot of things for ratings, but I think there's certain lines that they will not cross, this being one of them, only because they have so much vested interest in a lot of other things that are related between the Special Olympics, Conor's cure, stuff like that, that I really do think that WWE would not put some kind of a fake story of Roman Reigns redeveloping leukemia just to try to get some kind of ratings or something like that. I think that goes well below what their standards are.
I mean, crashing a funeral, kidnapping the boss's daughter, drunk getting her married. I mean, those are all pushing the limits and doing a good thing. But I think this is one that if it were ever to slip that this was a work, I can tell you right now that they're going to lose a lot of followership.
Oh, absolutely. Like all the ones you just mentioned, those were all things that you could easily tell was part of the script. The whole, Big Show funeral and stuff like that, it was all part of the show. But when you literally have one of your guys come out and say his real name on camera and is really talking about stuff that's going on, you can see where there's that difference between what is WWE Entertainment and part of the script and what is something that they just need to reach out to the fans. Like we just mentioned a second ago, man, WWE is a lot different now. They can they have the ability now to be able to actually interject real life into it and either A, use it for what they need to, or B, in this situation, use it to communicate to the WWE universe of real life. And people could take it. When I was a kid,
Finish.
When I was a kid, Hulk Hogan, say your prayers, eat your vitamins. Man, we lived by that stuff. And when Paul Orndorff turned on Hulk Hogan, I was one of the most pissed off kids in the world. But that was all part of the show, and we didn't realize it. Nowadays, people, the wrestling fan is more educated. People understand there are real life situations that happen, and I don't see WWE trying to cross that line.
Yeah, Mindfreak, do you have thoughts on it before I make up one final comment?
No, just pretty much. I know that this is my forte. But you guys pretty much said it all, like, you know, something my grandfather went through and I saw like the decline, it's a terrible thing. And, you know, like, I know WWE likes to push the limits on some things, but this is one of those things that I know they wouldn't do.
Yeah. So my thoughts on it are, it's, you know, whatever the outcome was, whatever the storyline to get him back in and bring him back, he wants to be a advocate and an ambassador for the disease. What I want is I just hope that it doesn't continually to be part of the storyline or his future. I think this is a time where they can use it because he is healthy and he's returning and what he's returning from. But I think you have a time limit on that to where it becomes beyond – reintroduction and it becomes a work as far as involvement, and I think that it devalues his return and what he did if they continually use that in his storylines going forward. So this is a good time for them to use it as far as what he's been going through, but I think that pretty soon they need to let that be in the past and move forward and let him be him again. So that they don't associate that or people don't believe that it was a work, because if they keep talking about it, it just adds fuel to the fire that it might be.
Yeah. And thank you very much for the comments. When you're watching this show on YouTube after post recording and stuff like that, you're missing the chats that we're having here. And as you can tell, we're very interactive with our guests and everything. So please jump on live. Get on here, answer the questions. As you can see, we have no problem answering them. And I agree with Marty 100%. If they are using this as a work, I will be the first one to sit there and tell you I'm done with the network and I'm done with WWE. Because, once again, there's certain lines you just don't go across. And diseases and sicknesses like that, to have a story, it's just not my cup of tea, man. So thank you very much for that. Who was that? What was the guy's name again? Who was that? Who
Revelation 16:17.
Thank you so much, man. Keep giving us questions, man. We're here for the next hour, and invite your friends on there. Much appreciated. So we've gotten through Kofi Kingston. Let's move on to the next big thing that happened. AJ Styles signed a new contract. He is going to be with WWE. Bearded Master, you're the brains. What's the? Have you found out what the contract is?
From what I've been hearing, is that it's a 3-year contract. So that's tied him up for 3 years. Don't know if it's full schedule, part-time, transition down to part-time. Just sounds like it was a 3-year contract for him staying to WWE, which that's awesome. I mean, AJ is without a doubt one of the best wrestlers in the world. There's no reason for them not to bring him back. I mean, by 3 years, you're looking at him being roughly about 45 years old by that time. He's at that point, he's either trying to become part-timer or he's looking on his way out.
Yeah, I think it's a good call. Mind Freak, your feelings on AJ getting a 3-year contract?
I'm excited to see him stay with it. Everything that's been going on with, you know, AEW, I'm not sure who's going over there, who's staying, who's going to leave after contract expires, this and that. Not that I would have, anything against AJ, going over there. But at the same time, I'm happy that he's staying, you know, setting up, you know, with his match at WrestleMania against Randy Orton. It's a match that I've been wanting to see for a while. I know, I think I've talked about it here, like one of the very first episodes, as his dream match kind of idea. So I'm excited for that match, and I'm excited to see around and what they're going to do with him in the future.
What I can tell you what they're not going to do is they're not going to team him up with the good old boys, the good brothers.
I want to throw my two cents on AJ really quick.
Okay, my bad. I was just going off of his comments. Continue.
I got you. Yeah. All I was going to say about AJ is, man, it's wonderful to see him. You guys have mentioned it. Hard worker. One of the best performers out there. I know I've been hypocritical on him or critical on his reign and everything, but I still think it's a phenomenal, no pun intended, contract signing for him because – quite frankly, AJ Styles has been in the league for quite a long time in wrestling, and his biggest stint up until then was in TNA, and not everyone really got to fully enjoy AJ Styles. And so when he's on the main platform on the big show, and he's pretty much every week on show, he well deserves whatever fat contract he got, whatever next 3 years he has, and he does deserve one of those what we call Undertaker or even Lesnar contracts when that next one comes up, because he's earned every ounce of it. And I think every fan could respect him for it. So continue on with that comment you were about to say there, buddy.
Wow. You interrupt me for that long drawn comment. At no point in that rambling did you come close to a coherent conversation or comment. Everyone now listening and watching is now dumber for having listened to it. Thank you, sir.
I appreciate that you're dropping a Billy Madison line, and you should probably appreciate the fact I know that more. So get to the next comment.
I just had to do it. I thought, we're good. No, what I was going to say was the fact that we know we're going to get what we're going to get from AJ Styles, as far as whatever we do get him on screen is going to be fantastic, as you said, phenomenal. But what we're not going to get is we're not going to be getting any reunion, any progression in the club, because as of this week, reports are out. The club has officially been benched from all live events. That's house shows, SmackDown, Raw, pay-per-view. Basically, it sounds like they're giving them the Neville treatment. And I don't even know if they even asked for a release. I think they're asking for better stuff. They're not giving it to them. And a team that came in and should have been the top of the division has been benched for stuff that shouldn't be. The bullshit ass Revival are champions and the club are not on their TV. You got a problem. So I hope that this leads to a release, because I want nothing more than to see them return either to New Japan, which I don't see that happening, but AEW and them getting back together with the group. Kenny Omega, having them over there, you just put Gallows back in a situation where he is a power force and a fighter, and they need something better. They need to be treated better, and the WWE is giving them the unfortunate treatment they've been giving them.
I don't think and here's the problem. I think I mentioned this when we were talking about way back when we first started doing it. They never got the real good push they were supposed to, and one of the reasons why is Luke Gallows could not, like I said it right from the beginning, man. The first time I saw him back in there, I know you see him as part of the club and everything like that. I see him as Festus. I still see Festus. That damn tattoo and that horrible push they gave him his first run in WWE, he just could not shake it from any of the long-term WWE fans. And they just did a horrible job with his push. They couldn't figure out if they were going to have them join the club with AJ Styles or if they were going to go solo. They never could figure it out, and they were never able to match it. And, yeah, it's a horrible, horrible decision to put them where they're at right now, where they are not going to be at any shows whatsoever. Hopefully not the Neville treatment. I hope they let them go so they can go out there and do their thing, because that's just too good a talent to be sitting around doing jack crap.
Yep.
My freak.
Come on, dude. I have the bald head.
That's because you're a Revival fan.
No, I'm not. Too sweet. Good brothers all day. How many times have I talked about the good brothers? It sucks. It absolutely sucks that they're doing this. They pulled him from the shows. They're not doing anything because they're awesome. I like watching them in the ring. I like watching them fight. I like watching, you know, do what they do, especially back over in New Japan. When they came over, I was super excited. We kind of had that little bit of the push. You know, what's our favorite thing to do? Beat up John Cena, you know, that whole thing. Just to be out to where they're at now. You know, from the sounds of it, you know, they just, you know, release them from their contracts, let them go on their merry way, go over to AEW, get back with the boys, and continue to do what they do best. That's beat people up.
They made it too much of a comedy gimmick. That's where they really went wrong with them. They tried to do too much comedy. The 8-pack thing, the doctor stuff. It was.
What are you talking about?
That doctor stuff.
The doctor stuff was amazing.
Wait. I'm not saying it's not amazing. I'm saying they made it too much of a comedy gimmick. There wasn't enough action in the ring. It was more stuff going on outside of the ring. I think we could all agree their talent levels as a tag team is more utilized in the ring than it is. I'd rather watch them wrestling and beating the crap out of people than them doing the Good Brothers doctor skit. I'm sorry. It was funny.
The first time they did the doctor skit, I forget, it was like, what's that? Oh, it's so-and-so's balls.
Yeah. It just sucks. I wish they would have fixed better because, you know, the tag team division is still not fully there, man. You've got 4 or 5 good tag teams and everything else sucks. So it's like outside now you don't have a solid tag team. They're going to be gone, making up tag teams with Ricochet and Aleister Black. I mean, and they got Heavy Machinery. Ooh, lame ass tag team. Anyways, so that's kind of like where the tag team division is, and it sucks. We're losing the WWE is losing a high quality tag team, and they're going to go to AEW and rock it.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking of, before we jump into another topic, so we're talking about, you know, AJ Styles. What are you guys' thoughts on AJ and Randy Orton and this feud they're going to have and this match they're going to have at WrestleMania?
Yeah, go for it, my freak.
I hope it's not a one-off match. That's all I'm going to say. I hope that this is the beginning of, you know, it's WrestleMania season, new storyline, stuff to, you know, advance, continue with this. With what both AJ and Randy can bring to the, you know, to the ring in the sense of, you know, the spots they take, the performers. They're both top-tier performers, both future Hall of Famers. Easily said. But when you have, those two together, like, just seeing, like, the bits and pieces that we're getting, like, this, like, has the potential to be an incredible storyline between the two that could probably last us all the way till SummerSlam if done correctly.
Yeah, and I mean, to go with that, unless something crazy comes up, I'm going to call it right now. That's match of the night, without a doubt. I don't know. You know, obviously, depending on what Becky, Charlotte, and Ronda do, that can be potentially an amazing match. But AJ and Randy, they're two guys who really are the top, damn near top of their game. I mean, they're on fire every time. The only times that they haven't been has been when they've been put into less than stellar feuds with people who they probably shouldn't even be in feuds with. Believably so, both of them were in feuds with Jinder Mahal. Didn't do either one of them good except for AJ winning the title in England. And they're both with the Wyatts. So, I don't know. I think it's fantastic. I think it's real. As far as how they're bringing it all in and incorporating it, I think the promo they ran last week was by far not only the best feud the two of them have had, individually, but I think that might have been one of the best feuds that best promos the WWE has cut since, you know, Chris Jericho, Kevin Owens type of feud promos.
Oh.
I'm digging the feed. I'm digging it a lot as far as, you know, the feud itself and everything. My only concern is that as the roster and as the matches are being announced, I could see it having potential of one of the matches of the night, but unfortunately, I think it's going to get drowned out. There are so many other main events going on with this WrestleMania so far, and things we don't even know what's happening yet. that this could be a potential headlining match for any other pay-per-view except WrestleMania. And I know they're two stellar performers, and I know it's going to be a very good match, but I think it's the wrong atmosphere or the wrong level to put it at, because I think this could be long-term, but it's going to get lost in the shuffle with everything that, as you're seeing that lineup going. That's my feelings on it. I'm not saying it's going to be a garbage match. I just think there's going to be so much other stuff going on. Like right now, Miz and Shane, Becky, Charlotte, and Ronda. You've got all the – I mean, now you have NXT thrown into the mix, where now you're going to have Gargano versus Adam Cole. That was just thrown in this evening. Yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot of quality, like, championship matches. And this should be a quality championship match, but there's no championship to it. And it's a feud that's just kind of like started bubbling in. So it's going to be a great match, but it's going to get lost.
But it hasn't been just bubbling in. If we look at Randy Orton for the last 8 to 10 months, his whole thing has been, I'm going to destroy your legends. I'm going to destroy your heroes. He's been doing this for almost 8 to 10 years. Well, no, I know, whatever. But he just came back to it this last summer.
Yeah.
And he started taking everybody out. And then a couple months ago, there was kind of some small promos in him and AJ. Nothing really. And then, yeah, it started trickling more and more. But it's been a slow build for this for almost a year when you look back at the grand scheme of things. And I think at that point, then you realize, wow, this is this could be bigger. This could be an amazing feud that goes the whole year. But it's really leading to that whole Randy is, I am still the legend killer. This is my yard. When you look back at the entire card so far, with the exception of Buddy Murphy and Tony Nese, every match on this card so far has some reality to it. There's storyline to it. It's all going back for a long time. Mm-hmm. Lesnar, Rollins, Ronda, Becky, Charlotte, Triple H, Batista, Kurt Angle and Baron Corbin, Shane and Miz, and now you get AJ and Randy, who are literally going back to the beginning of their careers and bringing that up and comparing them to each other. The fact that we're getting the whole not mimicking somebody, or you're copying a diamond cutter, or you crap on the indies. Well, you never made it. It took you this long to get to the main stage. The stuff they're talking about is real. And that's what's making this feud so fantastic. And I think that's what the payoff we're going to get is going to be better than we ever thought. A year ago, we're talking about how great the match can be between Nakamura and AJ Styles, which we didn't get. Now we're talking about how great this match we can get between AJ Styles and Randy Orton. And I believe we are going to get that match.
And if you look at like some of the reoccurring themes with a lot of these feuds, especially more so within like last 6-7 months, almost up to a year, WWE is pushing that envelope and going to these personalized feuds that they're getting more personal, more deep. So the fact that as Bearder One just said, going back to the beginning of their careers, everything about these matches, It's personal. There's a personal emotion or personal vendetta attached to it. So I asked this question. Is this, kind of with the rumors of, the Fox deal, they kind of want to not necessarily go back to the Attitude Era, but have more so of that Attitude Era-esque feel with a lot of these personalized stories and stuff like that? Do you feel that is going to be coming out more?
Well, before you jump on that, let me just go and just say,
yeah,
I think this Randy Orton AJ match is going to be a good match, but I don't think it's going to be, like I said, I think this is the starting of a major feud with him, and I think it's going to actually roll past WrestleMania. Like, this is going to start it, it's going to end in some kind of way where it's not going to be finished, and instead of AJ and Randy going for championship belts, they're just going to have one of the more epic, vile rivalries that'll roll through SummerSlam.
And you have to do that because
you
don't want them to add in the championship match right now because you're going to give other people opportunities, but then you don't waste the two talents who are two of your biggest stars. So that's absolutely what should happen.
See that, and that's my point by saying I think when it's all said and done, this isn't going to be the show sealer, or this isn't going to be the top show, or this isn't going to be the match that everyone's going to be talking about first. I mean, I failed to mention that you brought it up out of nowhere within the last 2-3 weeks, Batista, Triple H. And this came off of one comment from, 4 months ago, and now all of a sudden out of nowhere, Ric Flair gets jumped and we're already got a match. So I think that right there in itself will overshadow the Randy Orton, AJ, just this time.
Not even close. No. I mean, the history there will, but the fact that the match is even going to come close to eclipsing anything to the AJ Styles and Randy Orton match, that's not even going to come close to talking about the winner of the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. The history there, the storyline is going to be what's going to carry it through, but the match is not going to be a memorable match.
I got you. Okay. Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, we got a couple weeks for it, so.
We will. And I'll send you a live video after that. I'm like, that shit just sucked.
Asshole. go back to what you were saying there. Mind Freak, what was the question again?
He had a question? So, oh, snap.
Yeah, I did. So the question is, with seeing how personalized a lot of these storylines have gotten within the last, 6 months to a year, is this a way that WWE is testing it for when they go to Fox? Because Fox, the rumors are, Fox has asked them, we don't want to have that PG kind of rating. We want you guys to push the envelope. Is this one way, with what we've seen with the storylines, them kind of setting up for that?
No, because they've been doing this for about a year now.
Yeah,
this is the reality. Era,
I don't think so. Okay.
But I will agree with you on this, though. Yeah, Fox doesn't want PG. Fox wants stuff that's going to bring people to their channel, and they want to hear the occasional S or F bomb possibly dropped or get muted, or they want a little bit of that, more of that that 90s era WWE. They want that.
I mean, we did get that on Raw last week, so
yeah. And then you've also got the going on that. There's been some comments or some talk about possibly taking Brock Lesnar, moving him from Raw and going SmackDown, since SmackDown will be on Fox. It'll go great with their UFC stuff that they already do now.
They don't do UFC. They lost the UFC contract right before they signed the WWE.
Well, I mean, not UFC, excuse me. They have mixed martial arts still on there or some type. Not UFC, though. So it'll kind of bring that. I'm just saying. It's they're trying to reach for it at the beginning.
Yeah. Brock Lesnar's leaving in a month and a half.
Yeah. All right.
He'll get his rematch at Backlash or some shit like that, and then we won't see him again for a year and a half.
So we got another big news. We're going to move on because Brock Lesnar bores me. We had a guy just unfortunately had to relinquish his belt in NXT. We talked a little bit about it a couple weeks ago about getting injured, but Tommaso Ciampa ended up having a successful neck surgery. Looked like he had a ruptured disc, and they were able to go in, release the pressure, and they actually had a piece on NXT tonight about it. Same doctor has performed his two shoulder surgeries and his knee surgery, all in a very small period of time. So at the beginning of NXT, spoiler alert if you haven't watched it,
man, the thing just aired like an hour ago and just got home and started recording. Now you can tell us what happened.
Yeah, dude, come on, man, don't be that guy.
I'm not going to – all I'm going to tell you is that they're going to talk about that, but I'm not going to tell you what they're going to do with it. Thank you very much.
Just don't say anything about it.
It sucks, though. Tommaso Ciampa.
Let's talk about – oh, yeah, absolutely. He's a loss that's going to be felt without a doubt.
But as you can tell, though, two shoulder surgeries and a knee surgery all within the last 2 years – I don't think the guy will have a problem coming back anytime soon. I think he'll be back probably sooner than later than most guys have had. I mean, that guy's a workhorse, and it sucks because he's just started building it up. Like he was at the top of the food chain, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Now back on the main roster, we had an announcement this week. We had an announcement last week that somebody was going to have their final match. Then we had an announcement this week of who his final match for his retirement match at WrestleMania 35 is going to be. That man is Kurt Angle. I'm gonna let you go ahead and give your thoughts on this first, because I know how much you love his opponent, and that's Baron Corbin. What do you think about the Applebee's waiter?
I would have took the Iron Sheik. Never fought him ever before, but I take Iron Sheik in his 90s, freaking barely walking around in Baron Corbin. What garbage. I think Kurt Angle deserves a much better match than Baron Corbin. This is just their way of trying to give Baron Corbin one little push of something. Even if he loses it, they're going to somehow try to spin it into something positive. I did read a comment. I'm not sure where it came from. Yeah, he's a star, all right, a collapsing star. I read that comment somewhere.
Every black hole came from somewhere.
Yep, I agree with it, man. I would have loved to have seen Kurt Angle go against someone who had a feud in the past when he was in the 90s, had someone come back. I know I speak about not bringing these guys back, but in certain situations like this being his last match, I'd rather have seen him fight Sting if they can get his back in shape. Bret Hart, I don't care. Baron Corbin is garbage. It's an unfortunate way that a successful wrestler like Kurt Angle, not only just in wrestling, pro wrestling, but actually in legitimate sports wrestling altogether. This guy has pretty much put wrestling in every facet on the map. He won a freaking gold medal with a broken freaking neck, and it's garbage. It's an unfortunate way for him to go. But, of course, I'm just going to call it now. He's going to win his last match. He better, because if he doesn't, I'm kicking Baron Corbin's ass myself.
Yeah. Mind Freak, what are your thoughts on it?
I mean...
Okay. Dynamite drop in. My thoughts are along the same lines. Like, this is a waste of a match.
It is.
One, I think if you're going to do something with Corbin, do something that's going to elevate him to a new level, not something that we've been seeing for 6 months. Kurt Angle, whether he's going to do the work and do the favor or not, Corbin's not the one to do it to. He's already been doing it for him since, you know, before he got injured. Absolutely. I mean, I've been talking. It would have been a great match to see him come back, or see Cena come back and have a match with. We haven't had a Cena match announced yet. I guarantee you we're going to get a Cena match. There's no way we don't. I mean, he already said he's not going to miss on WrestleMania. We're going to get him some capacity. Him in a match with Kurt Angle would have been fine, you know, because he hasn't been in a match in a while. So, you know, you don't expect him to go too long. And after the last couple of matches, I don't expect Kurt Angle to go long. And I don't want him to. Given this with Corbin, the only thing I can think of is I would expect them to give Angle the win because he's the caliber of star that you want to let send home on a high note, and you don't do that very often. Most times when they retire, they're taking a loss. Kurt Angle is one of those guys that I think that because of who he was and what he's done for the organization and business, he could be one that leaves on a win. I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think that Corbin's going to get the win because it will elevate him to a new level. He's going to get more heat than ever before by being the one who retires Kurt Angle. I just don't want to see the commentary and the promos he cuts after that because it's going to get obnoxious really quickly.
Yep.
Sheldon Benjamin would have been a good finish with him.
Oh, yeah, that would have been a great match. Yeah.
Or not have used Chad Gable and had Chad Gable done it.
Hell yeah, two Olympic wrestlers.
Chad Gable against him, and it was a horrible match.
It could have been better than Baron Corbin, and I was just saying, instead of using him on Raw, you could have done it that way. Just saying.
True. Agreed.
Yeah, Shelton Benjamin. I think about that. That would have been a great last match. Yeah,
right?
Hell yeah. Yeah, and then, of course, you know, something we didn't even talk about last week was the recent Hall of Fame induction. We were talking about someone else getting a two-time Hall of Fame induction. All of a sudden, out of nowhere.
Two-time!
Oh. Harlem Heat is going to get introduced into the Hall of Fame, and that means that's Booker T is the third person to be two-timer.
He will be after that night. Yeah, there's going to be two of them becoming two times that night.
Well, I guess it just depends on who goes in first. He might be the second one.
That's true because you know DX is going on last. So that's fair.
You know that.
Right? Yeah.
And kudos to WWE for recognizing Harlem Heat because Harlem Heat never had, I don't think they had a moment in WWE.
Stevie Ray never came over.
Yeah, Stevie Ray stayed or retired. So to recognize Harlem Heat because they were just purely WCW, 10-time champions, They were a really awesome tag team to watch, and you could see how good it was just for the simple fact that, Booker T went solo and ended up being a five-time champion himself. So kudos to WWE for recognizing an awesome tag team, and this is a good group to put them in with the WWE as far as Hall of Fame, because of the fact that they didn't have that WWE influence as a tag team. So they're not gonna get pushed down or anything. There's gonna be a lot of great reception to it.
True.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. I'm not missing anything other than the fact. Let's talk some ring. Wait, hold on a sec. I see a finger going up.
Yep.
Beard.
I want to talk about the Miz's promo real quick.
Okay.
Yeah, go for it, man. Let's talk about it.
So this is one that, and I know you guys hated me. Mind Freak's some Miz guy or anything. And
no one mute his mic. Mute his mic.
I mean, you're like a Miz Mark. I'm going to start calling you Miz Mark.
Oh, my God.
Hey, this is my second podcast of the night. I haven't had a single drop of whiskey yet. Give me a break. Come on.
No, all right, I'll give you that one. And I've been on assignment for a couple of weeks, and I know you miss, ripping on me.
I am just going to stop really quick and give kudos to Bearded Master because he is going without fuel. That's impressive.
It is.
That is very impressive. I bow down to you, sir. Mm-hmm. Standing ovation.
Wonderful.
All right, so yeah, let's talk about this Miz promo. I actually, first of all, and I'm gonna say it's probably one of the best promos I've seen him do in a while. Go for it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. The fact that he is starting to get over so much, and we talked about this in a show about a month or so ago. It's we talked about seeing the Miz and Daniel Bryan later on down the road, but we didn't necessarily see it as the roles reversed. Bryan is the heel, Miz is the face kind of thing. But when the thing about it, though, is when you see Miz do a promo, like one like this one, that it's just, like, so emotionally and passionately filled, like, I get the feeling I can't tell, like, is it part of the show or is he, it's that line where you don't know what two sides of the same coin. You're not sure. It's like, is it part of the show? Is it these real thoughts? Because I know we've had conversations, and I know we brought this one up before, but a couple years back when he's on Talking Smack just belittling Daniel Bryan, and you're like, whoa, like, is this actually part of the show, or is this, like, a real hatred, a real feeling for it? So just watching that, ultimately, yeah, it's part of the show because, they didn't cut his mic or anything like that. But the fact of the matter is the fact that that's how
good the matter is.
Fact of the matter is, why go? Miz is, like, to date right now, Miz is one of the best people on the mic, and you can't take that away from him.
I wish they would do everything right, except they would stop for a second, push Shane McMahon out, put Daniel Bryan in, and then continue. And the reason why I say that, it's not because of what we talked about before, but the way things are going right now, Daniel Bryan is the ultimate heel right now. Miz is just now the good baby face. But more importantly, Daniel Bryan would put a much better match on than Shane McMahon. Unfortunately, you watch Shane McMahon. I mean, he's never been a pro wrestler per se. It's something that, just like the rest of the McMahons, they slowly but surely got themselves into it. Now, granted, he does have mixed martial arts training on the outside and blah, blah, blah. But every time I see a match of him, what's the one thing we always remember? Him going coast to coast or jumping off the corner and stuff like that, which is great. But with someone with Miz's ability and stuff, you need someone to wrestle him. And it would have been awesome to be able to take what that promo he did and take Daniel Bryan where he's at right now and make that a WrestleMania match. That's what I would have rather to see, because that would have been not only great promo, but match to go with it.
That's going to be SummerSlam.
You can't do that. You can't do that. Because if you go back to about 3 months ago, when I played out the entire next 6 months, you would know that we're going to get that at Survivor or SummerSlam after this match.
I
said that like 10 times on like previous casts. So,
I know you have.
Good job.
And I'm reiterating the fact
that AJ, because AJ,
I understand AJ. It. I understand, Randy.
Quit trying to
I
steal understand. Stuff, bro.
Okay, too sweet. Third generation. No, I was reiterating the fact that, you know,
It's just because Shane McMahon can't hold a wrestling ring. He can't run a match. Miz is going to have to do most of that match. He's going to have to do most of the work. You're going to get the punching from Shane. You're going to get some kicks, and you're going to get him dropping off the rope and doing something crazy. Other than that, though, the actual groundwork, the mat work, everything that's going to carry that match is going to have to come from the Miz. That's why I was hoping we could have took that promo. If not Daniel Bryan, anybody who actually knows how to wrestle competitively, has won championships, hell, give it to AJ. I don't care. Anybody other than Shane McMahon, because it's the potential of that being one of the better matches, but not with Shane McMahon's name to it. And there you go. That's a pipe. Drop the mic. We're done. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Bearded Master, fill us in on Ring of Honor, sir. Tell us the big news that's been going on these last couple weeks.
Oh, man. So not in just kind of a couple of weeks, this weekend was the 17th anniversary Ring of Honor pay-per-view. So 17 years ago, Ring of Honor came about. We got the 17th anniversary pay-per-view this weekend in Las Vegas. Sucked. I was supposed to be there. I had tickets to go. Stuff happened at work where I needed to be here, so I could not make it out there for the show, which sucked. Six-match card. Fantastic match, with the exception of the Women of Honor Women's Championship match, which had a funky finish. Could have been better, obviously, if Kelly Klein would have won, but it was a decent match overall. But other than that, Marty Scurll versus Kenny King, fantastic match. Marty Scurll is my favorite wrestler. Did a great job. TV champion Jeff Cobb to beat Shane Taylor, which was just a beast of a match. The Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions, the Briscoes, lost their belts to the Villain Enterprise, PCO, and Brody King. What's big about this match was that at G1 Supercard, we're going to get a tag team champion versus tag team champion, winner takes all, IWGP champions, Guerrillas of Destiny versus the Briscoes. Well, now we're not getting that. Now we're going to get G.O.D. versus Villain Enterprise. Doesn't have the weight that the first match had. Everyone was amped up for Briscoes versus Guerrillas of Destiny. I feel that there's still two more shows left to go before G1 Supercard. I think the Briscoes make their way back into the picture. But the match to talk about, the Ring of Honor World Championship, Jay Lethal, Matt Taven. If you don't have Ring of Honor or Honor Club, if you don't have anybody that has that, find a way to watch this match on YouTube. 60 minutes of balls to the wall. Absolutely phenomenal match. Went the distance, went the time limit. Because it went 60 minutes, no winner. Draw finish. So now, at G1 Supercard, we are getting a triple threat ladder match for the Ring of Honor Championship. Matt Taven, Jay Lethal, Marty Scurll. I'm going to tell you right now, we talk about matches all the time. This match will be the match of the year. No questions about it. Not just that weekend, but the match of the year. Take a look, watch it, find out how you can, but it's going to be fantastic. On the other side of that, leading to G1 Supercard, the New Japan Cup has been up and running. We're coming down to the final rounds. Right now we have Tomohiro Ishii versus Kazuchika Okada in the semifinals. Okada, probably without a doubt, one of the top three wrestlers in the world. And on the other side, we got good old Colt Cabana versus Sonata. And then we have the recently former Ring of Honor IWGP champion Tanahashi versus the up-and-comer who's been getting a push everywhere, Zack Sabre Jr. This is, I think, leading to an Okada versus Tanahashi match, and the winner of that match would end up fighting Jay White for the IWGP to title to main event G1 Supercard. These are just fantastic matches and fantastic shows. If you're not into Ring of Honor or New Japan, it's a perfect time to do it because right now they're both producing product that is just fantastic. If you're, you know, we talk about WWE all day and every day, and we talk about how they're not just they keep giving us the same thing every day, or they're not delivering on what they should be. Ring of Honor, New Japan, they're hitting the marks in every aspect. So if you want wrestling, you want storyline, and you want it consistently and a shorter card time, Ring of Honor, New Japan, it's a perfect time to start watching or try, even just trying to tune into some of it, because you tune into some of it and you'll be amazed by what you got.
Well, you're not excited about potentially having a five-hour WrestleMania?
You mean seven-hour with 17 matches? All I know is they better let me, like, bring in a canister of coffee so that I can, like, down, like, a gallon every 2 hours to keep my ass awake at MetLife, because I'm going to tell you right now, I am probably going to lose my steam and will probably have to go my third and fourth win, because you know that's going to start the night before. Party's going to be going nonstop. It's going to be a long haul. That's for damn sure.
here you go, Mind Freak. This is what's going to happen. It's going to be like this. Hi, this is Bearded Master. I'm day three.
No.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to make it. I got
What you're going to get is you're going to get like 12 matches in the card. They're going to get ready to start calling out like Batista and Triple H, and you're going to get me just phone, just like recording live, and you can see the camera just going down. And that's just going to happen. That's the live video of me telling you match sucked because I fell asleep.
Wait. You can't do it until after the intro, because if anything, you know Triple H is coming in with a badass intro.
So not only that, but Batista better come out with his pyro gun.
Hell yeah.
Fireworks or something. You know, I mean, he better come out and just shoot pyro like crazy for that.
Well, he should be. I mean, going on that nerd front and finding out that the original director of Guardians of the Galaxy is back, hell, he's going to be a happy dude. He's got a job again in the movies.
Well, yeah, and he could do play something more than powder.
Oh, shit. Oh, man. Damn.
I mean...
I'm sitting here. I've been invisible for the last hour.
Hi, Drax.
You can't see me. Maybe so
here's the thing. Here's the thing. If Drax fought John Cena, how would anybody know who won?
Wow.
Crickets.
Yeah.
Oh man, did we miss anything this week? I mean, we were gone for 2 weeks. I think we did a lot of stuff this week, guys.
I think we got it all in there.
We got it. We snuck it in, and to top it all off, man, that's 62 minutes.
Boom.
That's 2 minutes longer than Jay Lethal. See, we're better than them. Yeah. What up?
Oh yeah.
Hey. So thank you, Malice Hyphen Corp, for letting us host this show tonight. I wanted to give him one more shout out there. We really appreciate the time, and once again, we appreciate the comments and the feedback during the show tonight. Please join us every Wednesday. You know, we're saying 9, maybe 10 o'clock. We'll have to see. Some stuff's going on right now, but we'll be on Wednesday nights. Definitely come check us out. We'll keep you more up to date through Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and whatnot through Malice-Corp. Look, I'm pointing in the right direction. Where you could see those right there, where you can follow us, Mind Freak. Where else can they follow you, sir?
You guys can follow me right here on Twitch at twitch.tv/BTBMindFreak. Haven't been streaming for the last couple weeks because, you know, been on assignment and all that stuff. But yeah, guys, check it out. Have a lot of high quality gaming content on the new Destiny 2 stuff dropped, as well as Division 2 and the season pass of Apex Legends. Have a lot of that high octane gameplay coming at you guys with that here. Probably going to be another couple days where I'm up and running again streaming. Obviously the iFashion and whatnot. And then also follow me again right over the shoulder at Twitter.
We love having you back there, Mind Freak. We appreciate the Metal Gear Solid cosplay tonight.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it's glad to have you back, buddy. Bearded Master, where can we follow you other than what we see over here?
You can find me at @BeardedMaster, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also find me at Boot to the Face. That's Boot, the number 2, the face, on Twitter. Always talking wrestling, nonstop, all the time. Hit me up. Let's talk wrestling. Ring of Honor, New Japan, WWE, doesn't matter. Just don't bring any Impact to me.
That's wrestling. All right.
When Tessa's in the ring, it is.
Dude, I love the comment that Randy said last week to AJ. He's like, yeah, well, I was out there winning my championships. You were hanging out on the East Coast with Dixie.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You were hanging out with Dixie Carter. I'm not going to lie. I was shocked as hell that he dropped her name. I was like, absolutely. Oh, snap. All right.
I think he got away with it because he just said Dixie and he didn't say the last
name. I mean, that would have been a good time for EC3 to come out of nowhere and be like, whoa, 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 bro. That's my auntie. What are you doing now? Leave her alone.
Another person that we haven't seen anything from in a while, damn it. You can follow me at Masonic Vader on Twitter and Masonic Vader 71 on PlayStation Network. Of course, you can always check us out here at Malice-Corp and Malice Smack Talk. Guys, thank you so much. We appreciate you letting us on your feed there tonight. We will be back next week, getting ever so close to WrestleMania weekend. Have any comments, please let us know. This week, I'm going to throw a hashtag out, something that we've been doing the last month or so on the main cast and everything. Hashtag favorite WrestleMania match. Malice Smack Talk. MST.
You still need to learn how to.
2 weeks ago. A hashtag is meant to be quick, not meant to be a damn paragraph, bro. Come on now.
Thank you. Somebody else is saying it.
How about hashtag fave mania match? There's something about that. I mean, come on.
Hashtag FMM.
What the? Okay.
Hashtag favorite mania match.
That's it.
It's not supposed to be long.
I don't know. I think you're getting bored. I think you're getting borderline going into some other kind of video cast that's on a different channel altogether with that one, dude. We'll figure it out, man. Just put Malice Smack Talk at the end of it and call it a day. How about that? We appreciate that. So we'll figure it out. Come on, it's only been a year, and we just start.
You know what? Just listen to the main cast on Friday night. By then, Masonic Vader will actually have a real hashtag to throw up if he's on show this week.
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
Hey, better go ask permission for that now. Now give me that ring.
Give him the ring.
1, 2, 3.
Ding.
You Bill Getty, you bastard.
Well, have a good night, everybody.
The pedigree, that's got to be over.